All right, so today we're diving deep into The Law. It's this powerful essay by a French economist, Frédéric Bastiat. You've heard of him, right?
Ah, Bastiat. Now, he was way ahead of his time, writing back in the 1800s, but his ideas are so relevant, even today, especially when it comes to stuff like individual rights, the role of government, you know, those big questions.
Exactly. And he had this really interesting concept called legal plunder that I think is super important for us to understand.
Yeah, legal plunder. It's basically when the law itself is used to kind of like take things from one person and give them to another. Not really fair, right?
Not fair at all. And he argued that this was happening all over the place, even in things like taxes and tariffs.
Oh, absolutely. He was a big critic of tariffs, those taxes on imported goods. He thought they just ended up hurting everyone except for a small group of businesses.
Right, because they lead to higher prices for consumers, less competition, and stifle innovation.
Exactly. And he would say that this kind of legal plunder ends up creating a culture of dependency where businesses are looking for handouts instead of, you know, creating value for customers.
And this is all tied to his belief in the free market, right?
Absolutely. Bastiat was a huge advocate for the free market. He believed it was the most just and effective way to create prosperity. But he also recognized it needs to be a truly free market where everyone plays by the same rules and individual rights are protected.
So it's not just about letting businesses do whatever they want.
Nope, not at all. He saw the free market as a system of voluntary cooperation where individuals are free to pursue their goals and make their own choices, but they gotta respect the rights of others while they're doing it.
That makes sense. So how did Bastiat believe that we could prevent this legal plunder from happening? What were some of his solutions?
Well, a lot of it comes back to education, you know, making sure people understand the principles of a free society and the dangers of too much government power.
It's like that think and act locally spirit, understanding these big ideas so you can see how they're playing out in your own community and then actually doing something about it.
Exactly. And this is where things get really interesting because Bastiat wasn't afraid to tackle some controversial topics. He had some pretty strong opinions about things like public education and even charity.
Oh, wow. Really? Charity, too. I want to hear more about that.
Well, we'll definitely get into that more later. But he basically argued that government-run charity could actually do more harm than good in some cases.
So I'm guessing he'd be skeptical of a lot of the social welfare programs we have today.
Probably, yeah. But before we jump ahead, let's go back to something you mentioned earlier, tariffs. Bastiat used this really vivid example to illustrate the unseen consequences of tariffs called the broken window fallacy. Have you heard of that?
The broken window. I think so, but refresh my memory.
Okay, so imagine a shopkeeper, right? And some kid comes along and throws a rock through his window. Now, at first, it might seem like this is good for the economy because the shopkeeper has to hire a glazier to fix the window and the glazier gets paid and so on.
Right, so the money is circulating.
Exactly. But what's not seen is what the shopkeeper could have done with that money if the window hadn't been broken. Maybe he could have bought new equipment, hired another worker, or invested it back into his business. Do you see what I mean?
Ah, I get it. So it's not just about the immediate impact. It's about the missed opportunities, the things that don't happen because of the broken window.
Exactly. And Bastiat argued that the same kind of thinking applies to a lot of government policies, including tariffs. On the surface, they might seem like they're creating jobs and protecting industries, but they also have all these unseen costs and consequences.
That's fascinating. So he's really challenging us to look beyond the obvious, to think about the long-term effects of policies.
Absolutely. And I think this is especially important when we're talking about things like legal plunder, because it's often presented in a way that seems very beneficial. But when you look closer, you see that it's actually taking from one group to give to another. And that's not real prosperity.
And that's why Bastiat believed that justice should be the foundation of any law.
Right. Justice, not plunder. He really hammered that point home. And he believed that a truly free market, one where everyone has equal opportunity and the law protects individual rights, was the best way to achieve justice.
This is making me think about those think and act locally principles again. If you want to make a difference in your community, start by understanding these ideas and then figure out how they're playing out in your own backyard.
You got it. And if you find these deep dives valuable and want to help support our mission of empowering people to think and act locally, consider donating to our organization at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. We've got the link in the show notes.
Now, I know we touched on it briefly before, but I'm really curious to hear more about Bastiat's views on charity. It seems like a pretty radical idea for someone who is so pro-free market.
It is pretty interesting, right? And it definitely challenges some common assumptions about charity. So let's dive into that next. This is where things get really thought-provoking. Okay, so charity. Now, this is where Bastiat kind of flips the script.
Yeah.
He was all about individual liberty, right? Limited government, all that.
Right. And he saw legal plunder everywhere, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. So when he looked at charity, especially the kind organized by the government, he saw a problem because it's funded through taxes, you know?
Yeah, I'm starting to see where he's going with this.
It's like you're forcing everyone to pay for this thing, whether they want to or not, whether they agree with how it's being done or even who it's going to.
Okay, that makes sense. So he's saying it violates individual liberty to force someone to support a specific type of charity.
Exactly. He believed people should have the freedom to choose how they want to help others, which charities they support. And you know what he thought was the best way to make sure that happens?
Let me guess. The free market.
Bingo. He believed that a free market would naturally create a diverse ecosystem of charitable organizations, all competing for donations.
So instead of having this like one-size-fits-all government program, you'd have a marketplace of charities, all with different approaches and focuses. And people could choose the ones that best aligned with their own values, right?
Exactly. Now, to be fair, Bastiat was writing way back in the 1800s. Things were pretty different then, obviously.
Yeah, true. But I bet his basic argument still holds up today.
Oh, absolutely. It all comes down to individual choice. He believed parents should be able to choose how and where their kids are educated. And he felt the same way about charity. People should be free to decide how they want to help others.
And it challenges this idea that the government always knows best.
Right. He would argue that competition among charities would actually lead to better results, more efficient use of resources, more innovation in how they approach problems, you know.
Interesting. It's definitely a thought-provoking perspective. I mean, I get his point about individual liberty and all that, but I have to admit, I'm a little hesitant about leaving everything to the free market when it comes to things like helping the poor and needy. It seems like we need some kind of safety net, right?
Yeah, no, I totally understand where you're coming from. And it's important to remember Bastiat wasn't against helping people at all. He just had a different idea of how it should be done.
He was more in favor of that private charity, right? Like people giving directly to causes they care about.
Exactly. He felt it was more effective and more morally sound because it came from a place of genuine compassion, not just, you know, obligation or government mandate.
I see his point. And I guess when it's the government doing it, it can get pretty impersonal, right?
That was one of his big concerns. Plus, he worried that government charity would actually make people dependent on it instead of empowering them to become self-sufficient.
Yeah, I can see how that could happen. It's kind of like that saying, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish.
And you feed him for a lifetime? Yeah, exactly. Bastiat believed private charity was more likely to be that teaching a man to fish kind of help, whereas the government might just keep handing out fish.
So it's not about whether we should help, it's about how we help and who's in charge of it.
Right on. And this is a debate we're still having today, obviously. The role of government in social welfare, how much we should be doing, how much should be left to private individuals and organizations.
Definitely a hot topic and no easy answers. But I think Bastiat's ideas are really helpful in framing these discussions. It forces you to think about the unintended consequences of government action and how we can balance the need for a safety net with the importance of individual liberty and responsibility.
Absolutely. And his emphasis on those values is, I think, more important today than ever, because it's so easy to just look to the government to solve all our problems, right? But Bastiat reminds us that sometimes the most effective and most compassionate solutions come from individuals, families, and communities working together.
And that's what ThinkConnect Locally is all about, right?
You got it. It's about empowering people to take ownership of their communities, address problems, and create positive change from the ground up, rather than waiting for the government to fix everything.
Love it. You know, one thing that really struck me about Bastiat's writing was his use of metaphors. Like, he's talking about some pretty complex economic and philosophical stuff, but he does it in a way that's really engaging and easy to understand.
Oh, totally. He was a master of that. And I think one of the best examples is the broken window fallacy we talked about earlier. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, with the shopkeeper and the rock.
That's the one. And I think it perfectly illustrates how easy it is to be misled by focusing only on the immediate visible effects of something without considering those longer-term consequences, those unseen costs.
Right. And how that applies to legal plunder and government policies in general.
Exactly. Like, politicians will talk about the jobs created by a new program or the benefits certain groups are getting, but they often ignore the hidden costs or who might be getting hurt by it in a less obvious way.
So it's like they're creating broken windows all over the place, but then patting themselves on the back for creating work for the Glazers.
Exactly. And that broken window metaphor is such a great tool for understanding how government intervention, even when it's well-intentioned, can sometimes do more harm than good.
It's a good reminder to always be skeptical, to dig a little deeper, look past those initial flashy promises.
Right. And I think it's especially important today when we're facing so many complex problems that require really nuanced solutions. Like, take climate change, for example. It's often presented as this either situation. Either we prioritize economic growth or we protect the environment.
But I bet Bastiat would say that's a false dichotomy, right?
You know it. He'd probably argue that we can have both a thriving economy and a healthy environment if we rely on the principles of a free market and individual responsibility.
So instead of top-down regulations and mandates, look for those market-based solutions that incentivize innovation and conservation, that kind of thing.
That's the idea. Now, obviously, Bastiat didn't have all the answers, and a lot of the challenges we face today are way more complicated than what he was writing about back then.
True, but it's those core principles that are so powerful, right, that focus on individual liberty, limiting government power, and really understanding how a free market can work. Those are timeless.
Absolutely, and I think they provide a really valuable framework for thinking about how we approach these challenges today.
So where do we go from here? What other areas did Bastiat explore where he saw this legal plunder happening?
Well, buckle up, because this next one might be the most surprising of all. He actually goes after a sacred cow, something most people don't even think to question. Ready for it?
Hit me with it. What is it? Public education?
Nope. Even more fundamental than that. Public education's definitely on the list, but this one, he actually takes on the whole concept of government-funded, well, charity.
Like helping the poor. I'm a little confused.
Yeah, this is where Bastiat can really throw you for a loop. He wasn't saying we shouldn't help people who are struggling. Not at all. But he was very skeptical of the government being the one to do it, you know, through taxes and all that.
Okay, so private charity. Good. Government charity, not so much. Is that what he's saying?
Pretty much. He saw government-organized charity as another form of legal plunder. Remember, taking from some, giving to others without consent, all that.
Yeah, I got that part. But it's for a good cause, right?
Yeah.
Helping people who need it.
And he agreed with that. But he believed that private charity, you know, where it's individuals and organizations choosing to give, that was far more effective and morally sound.
Interesting. I guess I can see how government programs can get bogged down in bureaucracy, all that red tape.
That was part of it for sure. But he also thought it could create a kind of dependency rather than actually empowering people to become self-sufficient.
Makes sense. Like, if you're always getting a handout, you might not be as motivated to try and improve your situation.
Exactly. He was all about individual initiative, right? That think and act locally spirit, yep. Taking responsibility for your own life, your community, all that.
Okay. So Bastiat's saying, if you want to help, great, go for it. Just do it through private means, not through the government.
That was his view, and it's still a debate we have today. Should the government be providing a safety net? How much? Where's the line? Big questions.
Definitely big questions, but Bastiat gives us a good framework for thinking about it. It's not just about being generous, it's about being thoughtful about how that generosity is actually playing out.
Right on. And for him, it always came back to those core principles. Individual liberty, responsibility, respecting people's right to choose how they live their lives.
You know, it's funny. He was writing back in the 1800s, but so much of what he said feels so relevant to the conversations we're having right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why it's so important to revisit these classic thinkers, you know? They might not have all the answers for today's world, but they give us those foundational principles that we can apply to new situations.
Absolutely. And the law by Bastiat is definitely one of those foundational texts.
It really is. And I think a biggest takeaway, at least for me, is that idea of justice being at the heart of it all. Justice as the foundation of any law, of any government action.
Right. And that it's not just about following the letter of the law, but about making sure that those laws are just in the first place.
Exactly. It's about respecting individual rights, ensuring everyone has an equal opportunity to succeed, not using the law to benefit one group at the expense of another.
Powerful stuff. It's definitely a lot to chew on. And I think it goes beyond just legal stuff, you know? It's about how we treat each other, how we build a just society, all that.
Totally. It's about those values, about living them out in our own lives, our communities, that think and act locally spirit.
Exactly. And if you're digging these deep dives, you're getting something out of them, consider supporting our work. Head over to our website, thinkandactlocally.com/donate. The link's right there in the show notes. Every little bit helps us keep bringing you these conversations.
Absolutely. So, what are your big takeaways from the law? What resonated with you the most?
That's a good question. I think for me, it was that broken window fallacy that really stuck with me. Just a great way to understand the unintended consequences of things, especially government policies.
It's a classic for a reason. Super helpful way to think about things.
What about you? What's your top Bastiat takeaway?
I think for me, it's that emphasis on individual liberty and responsibility going hand in hand. Like, you can't have one without the other. And it's up to each of us to protect those values, to stand up for what we believe in, and to make a difference in our own communities.
Love it. That's a great place to wrap things up, I think. So, to all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the law by Frédéric Bastiat. We hope you found it insightful, maybe even a little challenging.
And remember, think critically, act locally, and keep those conversations going.
We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into ideas that matter.